Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Reality TV. Can you tell who just finished the comeback about, 6 years too late? Yeah, I did. I tackled both seasons of The Comeback and I highly suggest it. But the reason you are here today is 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, and 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. I will touch briefly on the bark back at the 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, whatever the hell that tweeting thing was. I'll touch on it very, very briefly, but we have plenty to talk about with our full episodes. If you are looking for more content, more things to listen to, trust me, I'm going to make this quick. Check out Total Request Podcast. Last week, Amanda and I broke down an amazing episode of the one and only, the iconic, the infamous Toddlers and Tiaras. We also broke down an episode of The Amazing Race with YouTubers. And this week, get ready for this. It's actually a loved-filled, loved-themed week. A very Duggar wedding, Josh and Anna's wedding, that throwback before we found out that they are pedophiles and just horrible people. Well, we always knew they were kind of horrible, bigoted people, but you get the idea. Also, Amanda is having me watch 2 episodes of a series on Netflix called Love. I have no idea what it's about, but I can't wait to watch it and break it down with Amanda. That is at patreon.com/trpod. You request the episodes, we watch them. $4 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. Over on Patreon, just remember when you sign up for Patreon, hopefully you do, you get access to the entire library of all my bonus episodes. I'm going on over 120 episodes. You can see what all those bonus episodes cover. It's not just the shows that I cover here on the main show. This week, for example, I am going to be recapping an episode of Celebrity Family Boot Camp with DaBella DeBall, Amber Portwood. It's also the season with Brandi Glanville, the Mob Wives sisters, and so many more. And of course, that is with the one and only DaBella DeBall herself, Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, and my co-host on TRP. That's at patreon.com/realityvpod. And last but certainly not least, thank you, Lauren, Crystal, and Alyssa for signing up for Patreon. I hope you thoroughly enjoy it. With all of that amazing, wonderful goodness out of the way, let's start with 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. And I have to get Colt and Jessica out of the way because I hate Colt and his hotel sex are in my city. Colt is tainting my city. And yeah, I said taint because it's actually very likely that, you know, some of that stuff happened too. Now, what I don't understand, what I can't seem to grasp is that despite Colt talking very openly about his mommy issues and bringing up Debbie every chance he can, Jess is still throwing herself at Colt. Last week, she's dripping beer between her boobs. And this week, she's straight out telling him that she is more hard up for sex than he seems to be. She wants it so bad, she's putting on the Six Flags old guy glasses, you know, just to blur out Colt's swollen calvesies and his Dockers riding up his ass just so she can get a piece. And I don't believe for a second that Colt doesn't like that Jess, according to her, sleeps with every guy that she goes on a date with. Colt loves that. He thinks he is DaBella DeBall because the drunk chick at the bar who bangs all the fresh meat is his for keepsies. He just gets everything wrong. Oh, including his haircut. I don't know how I missed this last week, but please take note of the lack of blending or a fade, particularly on his left side. So looking at him on the right, his left side, it's like a three guard. If you don't cut hair, okay, I cut my kids, but I know enough to know that like a three guard figure, I don't know, a couple millimeters. It's that length all the way up over to the other side of his head, almost like an Edward Scissorhands kind of thing. And then a long bang piece, a thick, long bang piece brushed forward. And then on his right side, I think that same length, but it goes straight into a finger cut, like straight up. I don't know what the hell the stylist at Great Clips or Sports Clips or Debbie Clips did, but I know whatever Colt was going for went awry. It couldn't execute it once again. Much like this relationship, how it's going with Jessica, right? We'll talk more about that in just a moment, but let's check in with Larissa first because, good God, I know that my shorts, my jean shorts are getting all the stretch that they have possible in them these days, but Larissa is giving hers a run for their money. I've never been on a pole or seen a pole, and my OCD knows that I would never touch one, but I know for a fact that denim isn't bringing Larissa anything, not a career, not hope on a pole. It's only going to give her a yeast infection. This isn't any judgment on exotic dancers, by the way, because Lord knows they're making more money than I am, and they have more confidence too. So atta girl, exotic dancers, I'm just saying denim, a metal pole, it's giving me fat kid going down a metal slide vibe, and I've been there. Now, Larissa is not fat. I'm not trying to say that at all, but she is lonely, all right? She's lonely, looking for money. I mean love. So she's now open to blind dating. I know someone who had a successful blind date and got married. Yep, fun fact. However, Larissa's requirements were pretty specific, okay? She wants someone who is tall and handsome, has money, is geeky. None of those would describe Colt. And if you want to argue that he's geeky, I think geeky and dorky are two different categories. And Colt is definitely in the dorky category, if not dweeby or goopy or just a goober. No, even that's too kind because goober has a little bit of lovability to it. I'll workshop it. I'll figure it out. But let's talk about Larissa. Her friend gives her a handful of descriptive adjectives for this guy, but the one that sealed the deal for Larissa was that he likes wine, so he's fancy. I can't wait for this first date scene. All right, back to Colt and Jessica. There's still quite a bit of tension. They're not faring much better in Chicago, but they're going to meet up with Jess's friends, who are all Brazilian beautiful au pairs. Happy Father's Day to all those wealthy dads across the North Shore and the Western Burbs. But plot twist, Jess's friends are a lot smarter than she is, and they are staring Colt up and down from cankle to gullet, and no way in hell are they going to let their friend date this dude, let alone be bossed around by him, like the controlling dick that he is. Colt, oh my God, dude, you're on national TV, international TV. You made a trip to the restaurant to meet up with her hashtag girl squad, and they're all camera ready. You really think the plan was just to show up there, say hi, and do a little situation ab flaunt of yours, Colt, and leave? No. And even if you don't want to go to this Brazilian party, you go and you do the damn thing because you dragged this chick, you dragged Jess on TV because you supposedly care about her and that you're a couple now. So go to the club. And this is coming from me who hates going to any kind of club. But you don't sit there like a lump on a log, Mama Carol throwback here, she loves that description, like a lump on a log staring at Jessica with the stupid eyebrows going, Jess, Jess, Jess. But Colt got his way, didn't he? All he needs to do is do one of those kiss the hand things where he takes her limp wrist like a Renaissance fair, like a LARPer at the Renaissance Fair would do, you know, m'lady, and she falls for it. Colt is a classic gaslighter, you know, and he's in the cab with her and she's trying to say, we'll be fine, but I need a minute. Just lay off. Can we just take a second? But he keeps going and going. You just want it your way and you want to do what you want to do. You can't just do that. You can't do what you want to do all the time. Well, guess what? You're saying that to her in order for her to do what you want. So you are actually the one saying that you want it your way. And he got his freaking way because he's manipulative and he is the worst. All right. Well, I take that back. He's not the worst. I say that about all of them, but Andre might be right up there. Actually, Elizabeth is going to get quite the roasting from me this week. But first, anyone in the market for a stay-at-home Moldovan to put together their Wayfair console table with his bare hands? I mean, who needs a screwdriver when you can have Andre twisting a few screws to a table that's going to hold a very heavy glass top? Hey, little Eleanor, does mommy carry any health insurance there in Florida? Because if she doesn't, it may be the perfect time to hightail to Moldova after all. I mean, sure, you may not get sterile stitches from that table shattering down on you, but that's okay. Daddy needs his dream wedding, and a real handyman doesn't need tools, just his hands. And same goes for Elizabeth. The My Sisters Are Mad song and the Daddy'll Pay For It dance. We're doing it again. Speaking of sisters, boobs. Bravo, TLC, on normalizing breastfeeding, truly. But boobs on pulling mean girl shit. That goes for every single one of those girls sitting in that pool. The sister and the sister-in-law, the Becky wannabe, they stir that shit up. It's shit soup. And they're making it for everyone. And Elizabeth shows up and she does the, get this, you guys, Andre wants Dad to pay for the wedding and he wants me to ask. Can you believe that? Okay, Chuck is your dad, Elizabeth. You should be the one to talk about finances with him. That's like saying Andre is telling Elizabeth that she should go talk to his dad about his hereditary BO and halitosis. My apologies to Father Andre because he does seem lovely, but I will go to my grave knowing Andre battles BO and bad breath daily. Halitosis is no joke and neither is BO. And I just know that Andre has it to a health concern level. I just know it to be true. And also, Elizabeth is a lying liar who lies. She goes over to her daddy's house where he's making chicken noodle soup with a ridiculous amount of carrots in it. Maybe he's trying to improve his eyesight, whatever the fuck was going on. There was like a good 12 dozen carrots on the counter. But she walks in and she's like, I'm in the middle, Daddy, because Andre expects me to come and ask you all by myself. And then Chuck, the idiot, says it's Andre's fault that his daughter has come to him to pay for a wedding in which he says, of course I'll pay for your wedding. You know that. You know I'll pay for your wedding. You don't even need to ask. So what is the problem? Get the fuck off this show. Get the fuck out of here with your Lindsay as Liz crying tears before I find a smells like white diamonds but still smells like shit and I spray it in your eyes and tell you it's raining. Credit to Judge Judy for that little bit of a reference, but I'm serious. Elizabeth and Andre need to get off this show. It's a Russ and Paula situation. It's all bullshit, and I'm over it. She needs to get some better acting classes, too. Now, Kalani and Asuelu, this is a good palate cleanser here. Our little boy, our little old man boy playing volleyball, saying he misses home. I mean, come on, Kalani. Let Asuelu go home and see his mom and see his dad and do man things. How cute is that? And I want to say I'm kidding, but I don't know. I'm not 100% sure if I am kidding or not, because of course Asuelu should be working full time and finding a better job than sample boy. But maybe I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Full disclosure, I was a stay-at-home mom. I worked before, so I get wanting to be home with your kids. Okay. However, Maybe Kalani should go and get a job. Have we thought about this? Because something tells me Kalani has better earning potential at this point. And perhaps Asuelu could stay home and take care of the kids or learn from her parents while they're staying with them how to care for his boys. And Kalani can get things squared away financially. Maybe she gets a little freedom from the kids. She seems pretty stressed out with that. And while Asuelu is learning to care for his children with her parents' coaching, he can start acclimating to life here. And then when he's more settled and confident, he can, you know, probably make some connections in the meantime and find a better gig than the frozen yogurt boy. Again, I hear Kalani saying that she doesn't trust Asuelu with the kids, that he doesn't make the best decisions. Beside the fact that he has two very good teachers in the house that could teach him, Kalani's got to learn that he just has to learn. He's got to learn how to do it on his own. And I get it. Trust me, I do. I had two kids of my own. Dads have to learn. Asuelu and any father may not do it the mom's way, Kalani's way, but Asuelu can do it. There's a picture book actually called Daddies Do It Different that my kids loved. It's not, you know, Shakespeare-level literature, but I highly suggest the book. It's basically like, yeah, the dad gets the kid to bed by giving them a ride on their back, but daddies do it different. It's more for moms probably than kids, but go and look into it. Now, I don't suggest going axe throwing when you're having some marital conflict. I don't think my little baby Asuelu would let an axe slip through his hands, but I'm just saying it's more likely that Kalani has a higher life insurance payout. Just kidding, kind of. Asuelu is a real teddy bear, but sometimes they bite, if you know what I'm saying, allegedly. All right, Paul and Karini, they're back. I have mixed feelings about this. Just kidding, no, I don't. Paul is a monster. He is barking orders at Karini as if the scale he's standing on is made of hot coals. Karini, Karini, read the number. How much? Karini. You yelling at her, Paul, is not going to make her do it any quicker. If anything, she's learned quite a bit in her short marriage, like many of us do. As soon as you start bitching and complaining that you need something as fast as possible, we know that there's only one of us in the situation who can slow things down. So I'm just saying, don't yell at her. She's got way more control than you think she does. Now, speaking of Karini, the difference in her entire aura from the first photos of her, when we get this whole montage, their flashback, the moment she meets Paul when she's walking down that road and her seeing his Kevlar vest for the first time, learning of the penis sheath to now, the transformation, it's like Charlize Theron turning into Eileen Wuornos right before our very eyes. The life and joy Paul has sucked out of her and shifted that energy. What he has sucked out of her, he's actually put back in to their apartment. It is filled with shit. Every corner of that apartment speaks volumes about Paul's issues. And he had an ex-girlfriend, oh God, this was probably a year ago, that talked to, I don't know if it was like Starcasm or Us Weekly, whatever, that Paul is a hoarder, confirmed hoarder case, and it's no surprise. We see the place. But how in the hell did Paul go from not being able to support Karini, still not being able to support her, to getting a green card, a permanent resident visa for Karini? He has no job or career here or there, no income. So did his mom finally relent and sponsor them? It doesn't seem to make much sense to me now. And going back to this, I'm all over the place because I just got a flashback of Paul reenacting being ridden by his son on the floor. He's like grunting and moaning and it was a lot. How did Paul manage to brainwash Karini into this hair obsession now, this hairball? Because we see Karini telling little baby Paul, Pierre. I kind of like Pepito better. All right, I'm just going with Pepito. She's telling Pepito to pull Paul's hair out. I'm starting to wonder if this is maybe a biblical thing because the cross Paul is wearing seems to get larger, as do his boots every year. So is this a reference to Samson and Delilah? like the source of Paul's strength to walk around in those weighted boots resides in his greasy hair. Or maybe that's why Karina doesn't wash her hair. She doesn't want to lose any of her hair in the shampooing process. Sorry, not sorry, you guys. I know I'm a horrible person, but they are filthy people. And I don't blame Paul's parents for drawing a hard line and saying that the two of them can't stay with them. Look at the hoard, look at the filth, but also Paul's mom and dad are finally free of him. Paul is a manipulative personality, and Paul has done this for a long time. This is ingrained in his personality. He would not have done or gotten away with or be where he is today if he wasn't a master manipulator. He doesn't think he's a manipulator or a grifter or a mooch or a lazy person, but he is. Back to Karini. I don't know why she is with Paul or what she sees in him that makes her want to stay with him. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm going to go back to Paul because you know what? I know exactly why she's with him. I will bet anything that he's got Karini believing that their TV career is dependent on them moving to the States. Like, it's going to be a better situation if they move to wherever the hell he is, Kentucky, Tennessee, so that he can score some sweet TV deals for them. And that wouldn't require either of them to actually work or get a job. Who I feel for most in this situation is Karini's mom. She's smart. She sees her daughter getting manipulated and getting played. She knows exactly who Paul is. She's got his number. And I've been on the other side, or the other way, if you will. My sister married a guy in Central America, and saying goodbye to a family member with young kids, it is torture. I did it for over 10 years or so. And it's especially horrible when the guy your loved one is married to is an abusive, lying piece of shit. And Paul may not physically abuse her, but I would say based on what we've seen on TV, he absolutely verbally and or emotionally abuses Karini. Okay, I'm going to move on here and maybe say allegedly, because who the hell knows if he's listening to this and what's going to get him fired up, literally and figuratively. All right, Angela and Michael. Well, hold on to our stirrups. Angela is spreading her, certainly not, bald eagle for her gynecologist. I never want to have to go to a gynecologist's office with anyone on TV, especially Angela. She's going to her doctor to confirm, this is so idiotic, whether she can or cannot tote Michael's baby and if her precious Humpty Dumpty is still in her ovary or not. Oh, God. They call me Humpty, pronounced with the Humpty. It's just jamming out in there until it found its way out. So anyway, up on the table she goes, and in that fucking wand, which is the worst or the best if you're Angela, because she actually referenced that wand against Michael's penis. And in that moment, I wonder if the doctor just shot some secret laser beam just to make Angela's ovary shrink on purpose. Maybe that's a little harsh, but you know what? No, it's probably not, because let's remember that Angela beats people up and defends her convicted pedophile daughter. All right, so surprise to no one, especially the American Medical Association, which knew this shit back in like 1492 or whenever, cave woman days, all right? Even cave women knew when you're past totin' age. Angela has 0% chance of getting pregnant using her own egg or toting a donor egg. And fun fact, ladies, you're going to love this one. Did you know your ovaries shrink down to nothing when you're done with your period after you've gone through menopause? So you're telling me that means I get to lose weight? I heard shrinking. I can't wait. Little ovies, any day now. I'm all for it. All right. Oh, and turns out Angela has a fibroid. So now the pregnancy storyline is going to get shifted and replaced by a Real Housewives of Atlanta style fibroid journey. Angela and her mom end up talking about Angela's possible diagnosis and her visiting Nigeria to go get married. And it was tough to watch this scene. It really was. I mean, it touches a little close to home. But who cannot not hate Angela when she's crying about her mom? We all have hearts, and that sucks, even though I think Angela is kind of a horrible person. She loves her mom loves her, and that was just a tough scene. So I'm going to fast forward here. Sinjin and Tanya, the bitch is back. And because the universe knew Tanya was going to need at least one pity vote. She was thrown into a car accident, and I'm glad she's okay, all right? I truly am. But I am not happy about seeing her stupid gummy smile all over my screen again this season. She had to go and steal Sinjin's thunder in the very first scene. He goes ice skating. He's very jolly. He's a lot like, oh, the Turkish dude, Marcel. He loves this ice skating thing. But here she comes with these ginormous earmuffs. And you know, she's all loving the sympathy for this fucking boot. Where's my wheelchair? Well, you know he got it out there onto the ice. She fucking loves it. And yeah, I am bitch eating crackers with Tanya. No matter what she does, I'm just going to be looking at her saying, oh, that bitch with the fucking boot. Furthermore, most people would be itching to get up and get moving. They've had this boot on forever, but no. She is loving just laying around on her ass, bothering Sinjin to give me slices of mom's tiramisu, or, oh, my back is sore, Sinjin. Bring me my vacation guide, aka syllabus, Sinjin. Let me smell your armpits. Go get a job so I can complain about you while I make excuses for myself. Oh, and did you notice that Sinjin? All right, I'm just going to go full bitch mode here. Have you noticed that he's gotten less attractive? He really has. And I think it has something to do with Tanya. It's something about her. She sucks the beauty and life force out of everyone around her. Have you seen her mom? Her mom used to look like Patti LuPone. And now look at her. She looks like she could be... Okay, I'm like thinking theater. I was going to say an extra in Les Mis. All right, but seriously, let's talk about her mom, okay? Connecticut Patti LuPone. How ecstatic is that woman that these two are out of her house, out of her shed? Who the fuck cares that they're going to be back in 60 days because neither of them has money or a job? That 60 days filled with tiramisu and Jack Daniels aplenty. And Lord knows she needs it because we learned that Sinjin likes to walk around naked. And I'll say it again, I think he's gotten significantly less attractive. So no thank you on the naked Mr. Tanya front. Now, as for Sinjin drinking too much, I was hearing some slurring even before the issue came up. I think he drinks a lot, yeah, but does that make him an alcoholic? I don't know. I'm not Dr. Drew. I'm not an addiction medicine specialist. But I am certain, 100% certain, that Tanya met him when he was bartending and drunk in a bar, and that is what attracted her to him. Did Tanya portray this free spirit, marigold flower healing soulmate searching for wildflowers and drunken nights together? Hell yeah, she talked about this. She picked Sinjin after all. She's just pissed that she can't control him now and change him to whatever fad or trend she's into right now. And I'm just going to say, I think Tanya's absolutely pulling this physical therapy card to her advantage to stay put in Connecticut because she doesn't want to go anywhere. She is all too comfy, cozy, almost, ooh, I'm making a little connection here. Wait, is it the same state? Sorry, I am thinking Evelyn of Evelyn Cormier. No, she was New Hampshire. New Hampshire, Connecticut, that's all in that upper right area, right? Very similar in that I want to stay in my hometown. You came here, you don't understand what you're moving into. Evelyn and Tanya, I'm telling you, they have a lot more in common than I thought. Wow. All right, let's take a very quick break, and then I will be back with more 90 Day Fiancé.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, let's talk about this 90 Day Fiancé Bites Back. It was rough. It was real rough. It's an hour of my life I'll never get back. If you watched it, oh my God, I guess we made it through together. If you didn't, you made a very wise decision because it was boring as hell. I would say 90% of the tweets that they threw out to, let's see who was on it, Ed, Avery, Ash, I might be forgetting people because it was just that boring, but the tweets that they gave them to respond to were pretty mild. I was actually a little terrified that maybe some of mine would have been picked, but I don't ever tag anyone in them because I'm a huge wimp. Like, I will absolutely crumble and say how wonderful anyone is to their face because I'm an asshole like that. But they also did not pick snarky, clever, really funny tweets that you guys throw out there, that other people throw out there that go viral to a sense, I suppose. They go viral in the 90 Day Fiancé community because they're harsh, they're stinging. And not necessarily to their personality or to their body types, but I mean, what do you say to tweets that are completely accurate, but they're really good roasts or burns? I can empathize with Ed in one thing, okay? I hated that he was wearing this blue silk robe the entire time because disgusting, put some fucking clothes on. But the tweets they gave him to respond to, I guess that's an issue there in of itself. Why would they even give Ed these tweets that say shit like, your neck is so short, blah, 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 because he can't help that. It's how he was born. But where was I? Oh, I just want to say I can empathize with Ed in the way that he responded to the tweets, which is really the only way he really could. And that's to make fun of yourself before other people can make fun of you. And we all have been there, or if you're lucky enough, you have not, but most of us have been there where you might say, oh yeah, that was a really funny joke. That's a good one. That's pretty clever. But really you're crying inside. There was a very interesting nickname that his mom gave him, Pony, because he has a hoarse voice. I don't know what a hoarse voice is, but to me, I think a deeper, goofier, like a Mr. Ed voice. Someone explain this to me. Maybe it's like a regional thing. The only other thing to mention was that Avery was high as fuck during this entire taping. She is shoving food down her throat. It's falling out. She's getting snarky right back to people. I loved her. It was a great, great episode for Avery. Will I be watching again next week? No. I will be fueling up for the 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way episode. Speaking of, let's get right into it. Starting with Devin and Ji-hoon. I really don't want to be the person to say Drizella's hair needs to be washed and brushed. All right, so moving on, Devin's dad. I feel like this is the first time we've seen him, and he seems like a really sweet guy. What's there for him to do? I mean, he sees his daughter making a huge mistake and up and leaving with his two grandkids. I mean, the little guy is adorable. He doesn't have Drizella's hair, so there's that. God, I'm such an asshole. I'm just saying, brush her hair, goddammit. Just brush it. Or put it in a ponytail. I have a daughter. I get it. She doesn't like to have her hair brushed too, but you gotta do something there. All right, so moving on. Devin's mom. So far, she seems like a nice woman. She's a saint for going on an overseas flight with two little ones. But next week's previews, she looks very outspoken. So I guess we'll just have to wait for that one. Now, Devin dropping everything for her life for Ji-hoon, leaving her job, leaving a home, a roof over her head, a meal that she knows is coming to her kids. I hate it. She is going on a wing and a prayer, or maybe she has to go to get a paycheck for the show. I don't really understand it, but I do know that Oprah always says the universe speaks to you in whispers. And when you don't listen, it gets louder and louder or more Ji-hoon-ish. And let's talk about Ji-hoon, because when your own friends are straight up telling you to your face that you're a liar and you're a joke, that after knowing you for 10 or 15 years, you've always been a lying, lazy son of a bitch. Like, it's bad. It's really bad, which makes me want to know more about Ji-hoon's family. I feel like we saw some sort of family photo the last season, the first season that he was on, that he had a brother or sister, which throws this whole thing off to me because he kind of acts like, no offense to only children, but he acts like an overindulged only child, or maybe a very spoiled youngest child. I don't understand why he lies so much because his parents seem like great people. I mean, his mom ate raw bacon, for Christ's sake, just to make Devin feel better. She's got to be a nice person. I just don't understand where his laziness comes from. If anyone has any spoilers, if you know if Devin and the kids are back in the States, holler at me, all right? Yazin and Brittany. Yazin's dad is sexy, all right? There, I said it. I find him very attractive. I think he looks like an older, silvery, foxish Gary Gulman. If you don't know who Gary Gulman is, check him out. He's a hilarious comedian. Anyhow, it's not that I don't like Yazin, but I feel like there is another factor going on here with Yazin. And at first, I didn't know if it was a sexuality thing. And I don't know why I'm getting that vibe. But I think it's more of, is Kyle slow? You know, maybe he's not as quick-witted, which is why he makes a very good match to Brittany, if you catch my drift. But Father Azen, I love him. I mean, he even told him to make sure he brought flowers to the airport. Adorable. He could be starting a whole new romantic enterprise. Bring people to Jordan. Or do we not want to do that? Air Jordan. You guys, is there an airline Air Jordan? That would be an amazing branding opportunity. Fly Air Jordan, the land of love. Love is a slam dunk in Jordan. I feel like this joke is about, 25 years late, right? Three-peat, four-peat. All right, back to the actual Jordan. Brittany has finally landed. I think her cupcake Sauvignon Blanc or her cupcake Pinot Grigio buzz is worn off. It's all love and roses and looking at her new home in the airport. It's just amazing. And then the two of them hug. There's no chemistry at all. If either of them think that this is what love is, this is like the hottest time of a relationship when you're like, yeah, we're committed. We're doing this thing together. We're a couple. You're the one. There was nothing there. Yazin couldn't wait to get Brittany out of that airport. And then we get that screen that says Brittany saw her normal crew members, met up with them, hugged them, and then she showed them a bottle of wine in her carry-on. And this just shows how immature Brittany is. What is she, like 24 or something? 29? Way too old to be thinking, ooh, I have a little bottle of wine. That's what, you know, I did when I was of legal age with a totally legitimate ID. Well, Yazin freaks the hell out. And I don't think we can judge him here, or at least I'm not going to, purely out of ignorance. I don't know exactly what Jordan's law is or what the culture is, but if this is a taboo thing, and if Yazin specifically told her not to bring alcohol, don't drink here, then what the fuck, Brittany? It's one thing to be a little too flirty in public, okay? But to break social norms right out of the gate, I mean, you're barely out of the airport. I don't know. They're both foolish, that's for sure. But it makes me wonder what's in store next, because next week we're supposed to meet a new couple. So does that mean that Brittany and Yazin are done and off the show pretty soon? Like, she only makes it a couple days, and that's why they have to get a new couple in there? Because already we're at, what, 5 or 6 couples? Then we're going to be adding one. That seems like too many couples for one season. All right, let's move on to Ariella. You guys, her mom, I think, should be the one that has her own show. We got Pimple Popper. We got the stupid foot doctor thing. Why can't we have Nurse Mother Ariella, whatever the hell the mom's name is? Why can't we give her a show? Because she looks like the nurse everyone wants for their parents when they go to the hospital. She just has these kind eyes, and she whips out a Perry bottle. If you have ever given birth, you know that bottle way too well, and it becomes your best friend, your worst enemy. We all remember the first time we made eye contact with that Perry bottle. Little did we know how close we would become. But I love that she is just like loud and proud with it. She's squeezing it, showing Ariella that airflow. Listen, we've all been there. If she has 35 years under her belt as a nurse, and it's coming from your mother, Listen to her, Ariella. This isn't a smothered situation, as I predicted last week. I was very wrong. Or at least this episode, her mom seemed like a very nice person. She's not trying to overreach. She's looking out for you because she's seen some things, especially if she's an ER nurse, as I think they said last week. All right, now Ariella is saying goodbye to her sister, and her sister is giving no sympathy to her whatsoever. She's like, sorry, no one's going to be there with you. I mean, like, no one's going to be there with you. And it's going to be hard, Ariella, really hard. But I mean, if anyone can do it, I guess you can. And then Ariella goes to give her nephew a hug. Her nephew named Roman. And Roman turns away from her and shades her. Roman shades. I know. All right. So then they go off to the airport. Ariella's mom makes a really profound statement. Again, perfect nurse. She says, how does that make you feel looking at your life there in 7 suitcases? I'm telling you, if she wasn't a nurse, she should have gone into psychology because that woman, she might be the new Oprah. All right, Jenny and Sumit. You guys, I can't believe it took me this long to make the connection. You're going to want to sit down for this one because I think this is going to be one of those moments in your life where you're like, I know where I was when I made the connection with Jody, who Jenny really is. Phyllis Lappin Vance Refrigeration. Whoa, I know. The voice, the little meek mannerisms, the way she pushes up her glasses, but she's more Phyllis post-marriage with Bob Vance Refrigeration. She's a little more saucy. She likes to dance. She likes to have a little sexiness to her, but not orange and not green because those are whorish. Sorry, you guys. The Office references, they're never going to die. But here's the thing. She really does remind me of Phyllis. But then she starts itching and twitching because she knows this place is pretty bad. I actually don't think it looked that bad, and that's coming from me. But I trust Jenny / Phyllis. If she thinks it's bad in person, I trust that I would probably spontaneously combust at the level of the lava everywhere, okay? It would be like a Pompeii 2020 for Jody. Is that too soon? 2,000 years too soon? I don't know. Anyhow, seeing this cow go through the house that Jenny has not even...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Gone to the bathroom. She hasn't even gone pee in this place, and she's got livestock trooping through there. I'd be pretty pissed too. And the fire in the living room. I understand it's a cultural thing, but listen, even native people had an exhaust hole built into their roofs, right? Think about longhouses. Think about earth lodges. Think about, oh, I forgot the name of the one that is in that national park. I know I'm very specific here, but listen, I was concerned. Jenny is so blinded by love here. I feel the frustration of her daughters. I mean, if Dave told me after I move somewhere with him, there are murderers outside who will kill me for 10 bucks and all that separates me from them is a little gate and Dave's sleeping body because I always make him sleep closer to the door because, I mean, duh, for just a scenario. I would certainly be getting a hotel room immediately. I would leave with the crew, actually. I would say, I'm going back to the hotel with you tonight because you know that production is not going to have them staying at some risky place. Or I would be getting on the next flight. It's not worth it. People absolutely know that they live there. And it's an American with blonde hair. And according to Sumit, that's dangerous. So what the hell are you doing? I mean, I don't care how much I love you. I can't love you actively if I'm dead. I can't love you from the grave. I just got really dark. All right, let's go to, well, I don't know if it's a brighter place, but it makes my heart warm up a little bit. You know who it is, our boy Armando. And some delicious tostadas. Now, I don't know if I could move away from my home, from my mom's house, if she was whipping up homemade meals like this. Al fresco, mind you, a nice little patio outside meal. I was loving it. My mom has a long history of serving expired food, and this is the God's honest truth. She doesn't believe in expiration dates, but I digress. I mean, we're not going to talk about me and my siblings' digestive flora, although I will talk about something even tougher. Yeah, our intestines are made of steel at this point. Armando is telling his parents, I've been hiding who I really am for a long time, and that's when his mom starts crying. His dad gets choked up. I don't know if I saw actual tears, but he was getting choked up. And when his mom started just letting him flow and she got up and she went around the table and she hugged him, then I started crying again. Although I think it's going to take his dad some time to probably process, okay, my son is gay, he's moving, and I need to meet his new partner and accept his new partner. That's a lot. And I think that would be the same situation for any parent learning whether their kids are straight, gay, bi, trans, whatever. It's a lot of information to take in, especially introducing a partner who you are saying, I'm sharing my life with. Not I'm dating someone, not I'm seeing someone. It's like my life is going to do a 180. So that's a lot to take on. I'll be hopeful that his dad comes around and gives him a big hug. But until then, my offer stands. Free hugs for all, or most people. If you take a shower, I'll give you a free hug. I'm extra squishy right now, so it'll be like falling into five body pillows of memory foam and vodka. All right, well, that does it for this week's episode. I know, we're down to two shows here. We have to look upon the horizon, see what's coming up. Remember to check out Patreon and Total Request Podcast. All those links are in the show notes. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps me out. And until next week, you guys, take care of yourselves, wear the damn masks, and stay salty.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.